Wednesday Talk Radio. At 9 on Political Perspectives, host Doug McVeigh speaks with drug policy expert Sanho Tree about the Drug Czar's Office and national drug policy. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, the Recovery Zone looks at alternative perspectives on perceptions and treatment of mental illness with John Keyes of Hearthside Healing, Sarah Smith of Rethinking Psychiatry, and Marcia Myers, formerly with Rethinking Psychiatry. Thank you for listening, and thanks, members, for your support of KBOO Radio. If you are not currently a member, you can certainly become one by going to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
And stay tuned now for an interview about a raid on tiny houses in Denver, conducted by KBOO's Jenka Soderberg.
Good night, Nicole.
Good night, Jared.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
We are joined on the line by local housing activist Ibrahim Mubarak, who is one of the founders of Right to Dream 2, the houseless rest area in downtown Portland. He's currently in Denver fighting the same struggle there, and many people there are facing similar problems to here in Portland. But just this past weekend, there was a raid and a number of arrests at a tiny home village that was just being set up in Denver. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened, Ibrahim?
What happened, that, as you know, I travel throughout the country helping people that want to do similar things to the concept of a Dignity Village or Right to Dream 2. And I've been here back and forth. This is my fourth time here this year on consulting them on what to do. I was on my way to Denver when I heard that Resurrection Village got swept and attacked. It was like 20 police cars and about 6-5 SWAT cars, where people wouldn't come out the tiny homes that they built for themselves, so they won't be in the streets. And the police arrested 10 people and let about 5 go. That was reporters. They didn't want the reporters to go to jail. And so after they kicked everybody out off the land, they brought in the city works trucks and started tearing them apart and dismantling the things that houseless people built for themselves out their own hard time, their own money, without the help of the city officials or any other public entity.
Wow. And a number of people then were arrested. What were they charged with, and what's their status?
They was charged with, I think, criminal trespass too. But they had, I don't know how the legal things here in Denver go. I know if you're in Portland, you'll be booked and released. But they had a GoFundMe site where people donated money and they paid for their bail. But yesterday we had a rally in front of City Hall, and they did get some solidarity from Occupy, and that they did, they're repeating and doing the Right to Rest Act bill here in Denver also under the heading of RAP, Western Regency Advocacy Project, which is, we in, I call it a tripod state with Colorado, Oregon, and California.
And what is that Right to Rest Act?
Well, it's given the houseless community to exercise their human right, as Department of Justice so stated at the United Nations Declaration of Civil Rights, where they say in Article 25 that you can't criminalize houseless people for sleeping. And HUD just put something out that it would take funding from any city that's criminalizing houseless people for exercising human rights, and that's getting rest. So the Right to Rest Act bill would allow houseless people to sleep on the sidewalk when the shelters and missions are overcrowded without the police harassing them, sweeping them, taking their property, and throwing them in jail and giving them criminal record.
And can you talk about the situation there in Denver as far as the houseless crisis and then what people are doing about it, like this tiny home village?
Well, the houseless crisis is an epidemic, and everybody in America should know. And it's not just because we don't have enough jobs. It's because of affordability. The affordable prices are going everywhere, and people with jobs are living on the streets. And the biggest growing community in the houseless community are families, women and children, or same-sex couple with children, or men with children, or people that's not married with children. But those are the biggest people that we're finding on the streets now, and people are hiding because they don't want their family separated because you're living in the streets. Department of Human Services to come take your children. Because you live in the streets don't mean you're a bad parent. It just means you're in a bad situation. So they trying to fight that where families can stay together by building these tiny homes where they won't be on the sidewalk and they can be in a community sort of like Dignity Village and tiny homes where families and people, everybody is welcome. And so it's the same logistics that's in Portland, Oregon, and any other city that people are not inclined to help someone that's falling down on their luck, such as becoming houseless. So, and that's where to see the problem at. You know how capitalists like to get capital on anything that they can get their hands on, like put a price on it. So just like Right to Dream 2, how we teaching people how to conduct and be for themselves, D-Hole, which is Denver Homeless Out Loud, are teaching the houseless people how to build tiny homes and become a community.
And the city of Denver has not been supportive of their efforts?
No, they have not been supportive of the effort. They have not been supportive of any houseless organizations that happen to houseless people. What they do, they go to places like St. Francis or rescue missions and the mission to listen to the same people that's been doing a 10-year plan everywhere fail because this 10-year plan is not going and this 20-year plan that's not working. But they looking towards them to come up with the answer. Like they just build a new warming shelter for women and men, but not for families or people with children. And so that's where they missing the mark by not meeting with the people that's affected by homelessness themselves and say, what can we do to help you all get off the street? They coming up with the same sad, they pale, stale, sad situation and imposing it on people that they don't have no knowledge on how to help the houseless community. The snowball is rolling down the hill where multitudes of people who normally wouldn't be houseless are becoming houseless, and their families and friends are sticking up for them and crying out, and they grabbing that support. A permaculture village came and helping them out. Again, occupiers helping them out. You got numerous of like community radio stations and TV stations and other organizations that's helping out the houseless community because they know it's going to affect them real soon. Yeah. I have Marcus right here, one of the orchestrators of the tiny house, and one of the guys who was here Saturday.
Hi there.
Hi. You were there during the raid on Saturday?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you tell our listeners about what happened?
We had put up 5 structures in a matter of one day, and there's hundreds of people having a good time on this publicly owned piece of land owned by the housing authority. And then at some point, the housing authority got wind of it and they came down and said, this is private land. We said, you're publicly funded. This ought to be public land. And it used to be public housing. And then you tore that down and you made it into a park with farms. And now you're displacing farmers. And you want to sell it to some fancy real estate people to make fancy, eco-conscious, rich people housing. Meanwhile, we're trying to do something sustainable for low-income people and help ourselves. So they called the cops, and the short of it is 70-something police cars and a helicopter and a SWAT team came and warned people to leave. Most people did. 10 people decided to take the bullet, and they sat in one of the houses and got dragged out and arrested. And then we have video footage of the police tearing down our houses, except for two of them remain intact, and they just stole them and drove off with them. And so we've asked for them back. We've asked that they return back to the property.
And the housing authority owns the land in question?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They've owned it for a long time. It used to be public housing. They tore that down through one of those silly Hope Six grants, you know, where they were supposed to tear down severely distressed public housing and then rebuild mixed income. But really what they did is just tear down perfectly good housing that maybe needed a paint job, and then hardly replaced any public housing units and, you know, mostly just built rich people housing and then said it was good. Yeah. So they still own it.
Is it the housing authority's mandate there in Colorado to provide housing for the least well-off?
So the housing authority has the obligation to provide affordable housing, a whole range of different housing. What they choose to focus on is what's called workforce housing, which could mean like 60 to 80% of the area median income is what they expect you to make. So like maybe two people who are both school teachers that are married, maybe they might be able to afford it, but the costs are really high. They expect the housing they develop, they expect people to make $63,000 a year or less. That's their cap. And so, you know, these for sale units that they're intending to build there are going to be over $200,000, close to $300,000. That's what they're calling affordable housing. And they're less than 500 square feet because they're greenwashing this whole thing. They're trying to make it sound like they're ecologically conscious.
Were some of the homes destroyed and damaged in the process?
Oh, yeah. We have videotape of the crew that the police or the housing authority, whoever you want to say, hired this cleaning crew. It says cleaning and restoration. Well, they came in and they just destroyed. And then they figured out that two of the houses were built so well they couldn't just easily destroy it. The other three were still under construction. And so they kind of dented one side of one. And they kind of pushed on them to see if they could move them. And then they decided to take them away whole.
Wow. Wow. What an ordeal. And so Denver Homeless Out Loud is trying to regroup now and figure out next steps?
Yeah, that's the hope. That's what we're doing right now is we're meeting, trying to figure out, you know, where everyone's at. I feel like everyone's in a good mood. Everyone's out of jail. You know, we've been singing that song, Have You Been to Jail for Justice? I want to shake your hand. You know, we're just figuring out feasibly what's the next step? We want to, we've invited the housing authority to dialogue with us. We want to come up with a solution that's fiscally and morally responsible. You know, they probably spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on the SWAT team and the helicopter and everything to arrest a bunch of nonviolent homeless people. We figure that money could be spent and we could have fancy tiny houses, but all we want is a simple place where we can be in community, where we can take care of one another, where we can cultivate the land, invite neighbors over for potlucks. So that's our goal.
Again, I have been speaking with Marcus. He's a member of Denver Homeless Out Loud, which is a group made up of houseless people and their supporters. They've been trying to find a location for the tiny house village for over a year, finally ended up in Resurrection Park, a housing authority-owned property, and then were forcibly removed by a SWAT team and 70 police officers on Saturday. 10 people were arrested. They have all been released at this point, and the group is figuring out next steps in the struggle to end houselessness in the city of Denver. This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO Radio.
It is 6 o'clock, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is the F word.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, a series sponsored by Northwest Film Center. October 2nd through November 5th are the dates. While cinema provides entertainment and escape for many committed filmmakers and viewers, it's a vital medium of engagement and a powerful tool for social action. Films in the series include